Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
The first scripture I want to start with tonight is in 2 Timothy from chapter 2. And it says that if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. And just saw this thread just coming through the whole day and through the sermon and through the worship and the words and the translations and everything that God is doing. God is so committed to bring restoration and healing in our hearts and in our lives. And I believe especially so when we have been faithless in the situation. Because the fact and the reality is, when we are faithless, God remains faithful. And I believe we all sit here and at some point of our lives, or even during this year, we've been so faithless. We've been so disobedient. We've so missed God's command. We've turned our backs on God, but He's been faithful just to keep on pursuing us. And even more in pursuing us and our stuff, He's so committed to our hearts and our desires, our hopes, our dreams. And God so longs and God so loves to fulfill them. Because, yes, God is God. Unfathomable. We cannot see the ends of the universe. And yet, God holds all of that in a hand. It's crazy. But yet, He knows how much hair we have on our head. You know, it's crazy, okay? And even more so, He knows exactly what is going on in the depths, in the center, as Brenda calls it, our core. He knows exactly what's going on there. And I believe in every single human's heart and nature, we have God implanted in the center of us because we are made in the image of God. No matter how we look or how we want to look or whatever the issues is we have, we've been made in the image of God. And I believe in the depths and the core of us, we have this longing to be accepted by God, but even more so, we have this longing to please God. And the scripture is full of God's faithfulness. The scripture is full of God committed to fulfilling His promises and now His work and character building and growth and loving in our lives. That for many of us, you know, all our journeys look vastly different to one another. I got saved in this way, then another person still needs to be saved, and another person received the tongue instantly. And we all have this different journey. Some of us might feel, you know what, God, I really have it rough. I had a rough upbringing, Lord, and where I am in this season, I do not see You, I do not understand You. Lord, every time, Lord, if someone says You are good, I just want to smack them in the face. And you know what, I think it's okay to feel that way. Because I believe some of us here tonight feels that way. We're in the danger of being slapped in the face because of certain things God has allowed to happen in our lives. And the truth is that God is good all the time. And the truth is that God is so committed to see us grow in intimacy, in relationship with Him. God is so committed to see us become like He is. What is the end of all these things? You know, God's ultimate will for our lives is to be sanctified, for us to become more holy. Why do we need to become more holy? Because if we become more holy, we can be closer to God. Because God and sin, it doesn't coincide. But with holiness, you just grow closer and closer with God. So if you are here tonight and And this worship really irritated you tonight. You know what it is? It is okay. Don't feel judged. Don't feel that you do not belong. You know, this is the perfect place. Especially if you feel that way tonight. Because I like to see that if that is you tonight, you are in such a privileged position. Because God allows certain things in our lives to test our hearts. Now, I believe a person that had it pretty rough, you know, we can look at Noah having to build the ark. Where God said it's going to rain and it's never ever rained before. So that is just, it's crazy. So for 100 years, he bought an ark for his family to go on. So I think, you know, he had it relatively rough in a sense. Doing something which he has no reference for, with people ridiculing him every single day. I think that's rough, but even more so, we can see the reward that Noah and his family got. They were saved from the condemnation and judgment of the earth, and they were made righteous, saved from it. And then, but the person that I believe had it even more rough, as we all know, Abraham having to offer Isaac. And if, in case you don't know, Isaac is Abraham's first, his son, okay? It is Abraham's son, whom God promised for him, who he had to wait like 24, 27 years for. I don't know if God has ever asked us to offer our parents or our kids. Is there anyone in this place? Like, either you're shy or it hasn't happened to any one of us. Not to make small the frustration and the season that is in your heart, but really just to bring perspective. You know, why did God ask Abraham to do it? God did it to test Abraham's heart. Did he have to go through it? No, of course not. What was the outcome of it? He received an inheritance. You know, he was called the father of many. But even more than that, God after that called Abraham his friend. So what does that mean? There was an intimacy after the act of obedience through the harsh trial and tribulation. So Abraham had this hope, this promise from God, but he had to do something to attain it and to walk in the fullness of it. In the same way, I believe that when you came to salvation, God has given you promises, he's given you a hope. But then just as with Noah and Moses and Abraham and almost everyone in Scripture whom God used and loved, there came persecution, there came a trial, there came a hardship, there came a sucky moment. But as soon as the people got through it, you know what was the end result? There was intimacy with God, with the Father. So the reason I'm saying that if all of this that happened tonight was so irritating, or you feel that you don't believe that God is good, the reason I'm saying you're in a very privileged position is God has his hand right on you at this very moment, in this very season of your life, because we can read this in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So whatever this thing is that you are going through, whether you are busy boarding an ark or having to kill your son or having to lay down your finances or your friends, or you're just in the process of losing everything that you are in order for God to put in everything that he is in your life, God has given you the ability to overcome it. He's given you the ability to escape it. And so tonight, God is encouraging us, saying that he's got his hand right on top of us and in our lives. And I know that even if we don't find ourselves in a difficult situation right now, especially now that the exams are over for most of you, we can look back to the year. And I believe most of us had a pretty rough year this year. But in hindsight, having to deal with and having gone through the fire, we can testify, you know, God is good. I have no idea how I'm standing here, but I'm standing here by the grace of God. So if you are just still in that place tonight, just have courage. Have hope, because God will never fail you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But He is busy with you in this very moment to draw Him closer, to draw you closer to Him. And it's entirely up to you how long it takes for God to complete the work. You know, we are in a privileged position to be in this country of ours. That whether we are Christian or not, we grow up with a hope. I'm sure that everyone sitting here, we have a hope towards something, a hope in something. That above of our hope that is in Christ, we are hoping towards something, even if for yourself, for your family, for your company. And if you go to, I've been to a couple of Eastern countries, and there, you know, it's rough to see the oppression and the poverty and all those things. But one of the things that really shocked me the most, or just cuts to the core the most, is you see people there really that have a hopelessness in them. When you look at their faces, when you look into their eyes, you can just see like they're really living for nothing and towards nothing. There's no hope for a future. There's no hope for anything tomorrow. They just wake up and go sleep again. And it's really scary, and it's really for us a privilege to have a hope for where we are. And in short, what God just laid on my heart to share with you tonight is God wants to encourage us for this last stretch of the year that is ahead, that many of us, we are heading off to holidays. Some of us are continuing working, but it really isn't relevant to whether we are at the beach or not. But God has been doing things in our lives during this year, and He's completed many of it, most of it, but there are some things that are, in a way, lingering, either because of a busy schedule or because of we not wanting to deal with it or conform to this new standard that God has set out before us. And God just comes tonight and friendly, He just wants to remind us that He wants to complete the work that He set out for 2014. What's the movie I'm thinking of now? I don't know why I'm thinking about it. Casper. Why did they say people become ghosts? Because they have unfinished business. I have no idea why I'm thinking about it. Let us not come in 2015 and say, Lord, we actually have unfinished business to attend to. Let us deal with the things, you know, the Holy Spirit is pressing on our hearts. Whether it is to give more, to let go more, or just to smile more. Let's just go back, you know, tonight, to our rooms, as I think there's about 4 weeks left in this year. It's crazy. And let's complete this business that God is wanting for us to complete in our lives, so that we can truly just complete this hope in Him and through Him. And to come back to hope. With these things that God is doing in our lives, we have a certain hope even for this holiday or for the next year. Or we've had this desire or this thing which we have placed in God, but we haven't seen it come to fruition or completion. And we don't understand why. God, why don't you answer my call, my questions? And the louder we shout, the more distant God feels. But for me, and I'm not going to read it with all of you tonight, but I have a portion of scripture, and I want you to take a mental note, to write it down. It is in Hebrew 11, from verse 1 to 29. And there we read, you know, about Abel, about Moses, about Noah, of Abraham, of Barak, Gideon, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets. And we see examples of all these things, the calls that God has placed on the lives, the hope that they had. But in order for them to have come to the completion of it, is they had to do something. They had to step out in faith. The scripture begins with saying, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of the things unseen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So if we need to have the surety and the manifestation of our hope, we need to have faith and step out in faith, because faith without works is dead. And the perfect example I will use, and Melody loves this by the now, is a personal testing in my life. I use it because I want to brag a bit, thank God a bit, and just because God is awesome and His work that He's done. And in the beginning of the year, you know, I met Melody and I fell in love with her. It's crazy. And then came the meet the parents. You know, and that part, that was the fiery trial. That was the sucky part. That was the ark part. That was the killing Isaac part. For where you just say, okay, God, why have you prepared this for me? Why this? You know, this isn't fun to go through. And you know, things didn't start off on a good foot. You know, it was a really rough year. You know, just all around. So there were a lot of emotions. There were a lot of stuff going on. And just in short, you know, this relationship with her parents just started off in a sense with rejection. And you know, what that made me. God just started sorting out a couple of things in my heart concerning it, because, you know, I don't know about you, but rejection sucks. And I thought, you know, I was always like, yes, Lord, I don't care what any man thinks of me. And it's true until I met her father. Like, I still don't care what any one of you think of me, but I, for some reason, it just cut to my core as I had this longing for Him to accept me, because this is a different relationship, because I wanted Him to accept me as a son. No, I don't want to be His friend. I don't want to be His friend. I wanted to accept me as His son. So we started praying and fasting and going through all these things. You know, God, being amazing, being good all the time, just so changed a heart. Changed the situation. And what needed to be done is God started speaking to me about, no, this is the hope I have, is acceptance. And more than acceptance is His blessing. Know, to have His daughter. And so that was the hope that I've placed in God and working through this. So God said, okay, but faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So what needed to happen is I needed to approach Him and address Him and have somewhere along the line of conversation with Him, just saying, you know what? And this conversation happened and it was very awkward. I like hyperventilated a bit. And this conversation actually happened where I said, you know what? I've made the decision that I already see you as my father. I said it to him. No, awkward. But we had this conversation, and in my prayer, and in my mentality, and especially in my heart, which is so deceitful. It's crazy. Especially in my heart, I had to make the shift to just respect Him and love Him and see Him as my father. You know what? I believe that just through that and through prayer, God changed the heart. He changed the way that He sees me and thinks about me. And we still have a long way to go, but I'm very excited about everything that lies ahead. But, you know, to get to the important thing is He gave me His blessing to have His daughter. I know that's awesome. Okay, let's pray and go home. That's what I wanted to share. And you know what? This situation is nothing different to the situation that you're in perhaps currently. Because God requires you to make that mental, heart, and action shift. Step out in faith and already just claim that hope. Because faith is assurance of things hoped for. So tonight, church, family, brothers and sisters, Melody, God wants to restore our hope. And he wants to restore our faith in him. Because even when we are faithless, he is faithful. And God is more committed in having me receive a blessing than I was actually to receive the blessing. That is the part that just that blows your mind. And for every desire that you might have, God is even more wants to see the desire come through in your life. Because why? Because, you know, it not only draws us closer to God, but it glorifies God through the testimony. So that's why I actually had the responsibility to share this with you tonight. Because this is the last time I'm standing here this year. So I had to use it. And that through this, I believe that God is just giving you, even if it's, I don't know what to use the word, even if it's just a little bit of hope in your situation of darkness. But tonight you are stepping out of here and you're going to reach out to God. And you know what? God is going to be faithful to take your hand and to put you into light. So tonight to end off with, and that is the cue that we're going to go another hour. I want us to read together out of Hebrews 10, verse 23, which says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And then lastly, Ephesians 3 from verse 20, saying, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The church, let's put our hope, our trust in Christ. And with that, let's step out in faith. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to stand as Brenda stood and say, what? It's going good because God is good. But through whatever thing we've gone through, God is good. If we're still in it, God is good all the time. So I'm going to end off with us in prayer. And then we can go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for everything in this year. Every blessing, Father God. Everything that you've taken away, Lord. Everything that you have done, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Because, Lord, even though we do not understand what you do sometimes, Lord, all that we have to know and to understand, Lord, is that you are equipping us, Lord. And you are changing us, Lord, to be sanctified in order to be closer, Lord, to you. Lord, and thank you, Lord, that tonight you have embraced so many of us, Father God, that tonight so many prodigal sons and daughters have returned home. I pray, God, that you're going to continue that throughout this week and throughout the end of the year, Lord, you're going to establish and finish and complete the work, Lord, which you have started. Lord, so that we can testify, Lord, of your goodness, of your mercy, of your grace. We can testify of your love as a father to us. Lord, tonight we choose not to look at the hurt or the disappointment or the questions, Lord. Lord, we choose not to look at it, but we choose to look at you. We choose to look at the example, Lord, and we choose to look at the fact, Father, that you have sent your son Jesus to die for us. God, you sent Jesus to die for us so that the veil can be torn so that we can have access to you, Father. That is what we choose to look at. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and just fill our lives, Lord, and fill our hearts, that as we go from you, Lord, into this week, that we will experience you, Lord, more intimately than we have ever had. Whether we are working or exercising or whatever, Father, that during those times, Lord, that as we reach out, Lord, that you will just grab our hands. And Father, that you will dance with us. Lord, you want to dance with us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a blessed week in every church.
Power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.